And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Go, Stan.
Okay, we're back for the umpteenth time.
We're back.
No.
Oh, okay.
The guy who did that is dead, so I'm not going to do that. Anyway, I'm here in the studio with Malcolm Berman, Robert, alias Bobby Dean Hooks, and Lori Marlowe, and we're going
alias
to keep
what?
You entertained.
What was that name?
Gay Marlowe. Oh, Maury Larlow.
Maury Larlow.
Marlowe.
As John Travolta
Marley Larlow. Okay, anyway, we are on CRNTalk.com. Digital talk radio, which is broadcast not only all over the planet, but all over the galaxy. So if you
the galaxy and beyond.
And beyond. Well, we don't know how far beyond, but yeah, pretty far beyond. And you know what? If somebody is in a far, far end of this galaxy, they won't get this program maybe for another 100 years.
A 100 years, probably.
Or maybe even
longer.
A thousand years.
Which could be tomorrow.
Yeah.
So there.
Tomorrow? If they get it by tomorrow, we're in trouble. Anyway, let's do the news for the week. A few weeks ago, we gave a little story about the U.S. Navy getting into Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon. Well, it's official now. They're going Star Trek this coming summer with the introduction of their own laser cannon. Okay, it really is coming into being now. It's for real. It can down an airplane, a drone, or disable a ship with an invisible beam of light. Who the hell would ever thought?
Isn't progress so astounding?
Is astounding.
Yeah, I mean, now we have bigger and better ways to kill destroy.
People, yes.
Drone time.
Yeah. Well, I sort of love watching some of these old movies where you had the troops facing, going back 300-400 years, where you had just troops lined up shooting each other. And that was it.
That was it.
Nobody else was in danger.
They fall, everybody's down, and the war is over.
Like chess.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, this device can also shoot a projectile for hundreds of miles. So it shoots a laser, it shoots a projectile, and that projectile goes in excess of 7 times the speed of sound. That means when you get hit, you won't hear about it until 7 to 8 seconds later.
When you get hit, I don't think there'll be 7 or 8 seconds left.
That's
and you can't
true.
Get away.
Right. Well, what was that movie with Michael Rene where he's they did a remake recently where he's from outer space? And he came to warn the world that if that they
they did a remake with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, that if we keep on getting more sophisticated rocket ships and things,
they're going to wipe us out,
right? Because we're going to endanger them.
Yeah,
and we have no control of our own destinies.
Well, the human race really is a very unfit thing. I mean, it's amazing. You know, if there is a God up there, why did he ever create people that are so imperfect and do such horrific things to each other?
Well, it's also interesting to me that I can't imagine any other species being entertained by films that have all of these ways of showing us how we could be extinct and how we could destroy ourselves. All these movies that watch the end of mankind.
Armageddon. Yes.
And yet that's entertaining to people, and I don't get it.
Well I love where they have all these masterminds and brilliant people showing terrorists how they can attack us.
Yes!
You know, terrorists don't have to, you know, be smart or anything. Say, oh, did you see that movie? You know, we can do that.
Right.
They learn from Hollywood.
And a lot of times that we sell them the weapons before they become terrorists, right. And then they still have the weapons.
Yes.
Yeah. Iraq.
I watched a movie last night which came out in 2004, 2005 with Nicolas Cage. It was called something about warlords or whatever, and he was an international arms dealer.
Arms dealer, yeah, right. I saw that movie.
Amazing. It was entertaining.
Anyway, next.
All right, hey, how would you like to adopt a chihuahua? You know, that's a little dog, tiny little dog. And if you do, you'll be helping out the state of Arizona because they are inundated with them. For whatever reason, they are just swamped with those little dogs. And I think back where I grew up in Brooklyn, we had cockroaches as big as chihuahuas.
Right.
What I remember...
I fostered a lot of them.
Now, I remember in Brooklyn, not cockroach. I remember there was like a time in August they had flying beetles.
Oh, my goodness.
Probably a 1 or 2 week period. When we stay outside, and these huge beetles would come and land on you, and they would fly.
Mm.
Anyway.
We didn't have that where I grew up.
And they never took you away?
I think they did.
And where are the fireflies? Where have they all gone? Have you seen a firefly lately?
I've never seen a firefly out here in California.
No, I haven't seen one since I was a Boy Scout kid.
So, I mean, my favorite used to be the ladybugs.
Yeah. Oh, I see them sometimes.
I haven't seen one of those in the longest time. Is he signaling again? What is he doing in that control
booth? I think he's making a call to our next guest.
No, we have to drop him an F-bomb.
Should we talk about more disaster flicks?
Malcolm, anything interesting besides this business here with the deputies taking our license plates and putting us on the internet?
There was a huge article in the Los Angeles Times this Sunday about how different companies are taking our license plates or videotaping. No matter where we go, they're cameras. And that first, it's the police department who can trace you from the time you step out of your house to where you go. And now they're private companies that are doing this.
Well, if you have a smartphone in your pocket, they're doing it anyway.
Yeah. But remember the days where you would say, I want to be alone, and you get into your car and lose yourself?
No way.
You can't lose yourself anymore.
Not anymore. No.
I mean, they could tell you, they could tell you what time you left your house in the morning, where you went. And a lot of people were, let's say Lori felt that you were, playing some games on her. She could hire a private detective, and he would know where that car was on a 24/7 basis.
You can't use me as an example.
No, that kind of stuff never happens.
On the other hand, at least it's possible to call someone and say, where was I at noon on Wednesday? Because I have a feeling I made an appointment somewhere.
but they had the audio tape on that.
Yeah. Right.
Well, this stuff has been going on for years. Like in New York City, for instance, you have one of those transportation things instead of putting...
Right, you put in your...
That card will tell them where you've been, what train you took, when, all that.
It's the age of high tech, fellas.
One of my daughters said to me, we have too many cameras. There were cameras all over. I said, yeah, that's because we live in an imperfect world where people are dishonest.
Yeah.
If there was no such thing as dishonest and you could trust everybody, we wouldn't need cameras up the wazoo and all over wherever you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like two sides of the same coin. If you feel if you're the one that feels invaded upon, then it's a negative thing. If you're the one whose crime was solved or who was helped by the fact that there were eyes everywhere, then it becomes a positive thing to the same person.
How much is too much? I mean, and then who gets control of the information? That's the real issue.
That's the big
thing. Right. And I think that was the whole thing with the NSA. And,
And earlier we were talking about...
It has to be properly monitored.
Yeah. Before the show started, we were talking about that movie Gattaca, the science fiction movie, where the chief inspector has a little gizmo the size of a pack of cigarettes, and he could take a hair from your head, run it across, and it tells them everything about you. So... It was miniaturized to the point where every bit of information was on this pack of cigarette-sized gizmo device.
Well, the Q used to give that to James Bond all the time.
Movies? The science fiction from when we were little kids, Malcolm, we've gone way, way past that now.
Well, it's inescapable. Yeah. High tech, everything is inescapable. They're
and the headline this
down.
Morning of the Wall Street Journal... The FBI is indicting five guys from China for cyber breach and cyber spying. They know they'll never bring them to trial, so I don't know what point it is to make this known.
And
what
these
they
are,
should have done was just have them assassinated.
No, stop.
Well, I think the part of it was to make the point here that when you hear about things like that that seem to be corporate espionage, that it's taken away jobs, that it's taken away companies, so that people, even though nothing can be done there because they're safe, people here understand the impact behind what sounds innocuous.
And that's what the Justice Department is doing. It's because it's about corporate espionage, because it affects jobs. You know, it's American.
Well, I get more worried about government espionage.
Espionage.
Because they have it where people are foreign countries are constantly trying to hack into our defense system, which is totally based on the computers, as well as we are trying to hack into their systems.
And that's been going on for years and years, Malcolm.
I have a question, though, about the cameras everywhere. I wanted to get back to that, you know, the eyes everywhere, the data. I'm wondering if it's also a generational thing. Because the last couple of decades. I mean, there's an ease with taking photographs of yourself everywhere, posting where you are willingly everywhere. I wonder if inner and outer and private and public life is more permeable and more comfortable for people in their teens and 20s, that the idea of people knowing where you are and what you've done is like big whoopee.
Yeah, I don't think they get as outraged
as we do. Exactly.
Because we're not
as
used
you
to
and
that.
I.
I don't know about
these two youngsters.
Some people want everyone else to know about them, but then you get some kids with cyberbullying. It's for some kids to actually commit suicide.
Yeah. That's awful.
Because it's gone over the edge.
Yeah, and the laws haven't kept pace with the technology and the level of bullying that's possible now anonymously.
Right. Well, what I get amazed at is the celebrity hunting, the paparazzi.
See, that's where I'm loving Vistaviano. Vistaviano with that Daft Punk visor.
Who is that?
Vistaviano.
Yeah, we have to know who you're talking
about. That's the one.
She's the silly
Donald
rabbit,
King.
The funny bunny.
Donald Sterling.
Yeah. Okay. So we always have to know who you said.
Donald Gates.
Okay. Well, for anybody who's listening, who's on another continent, just Google Donald Sterling, and you will have comic book reading for weeks. It's so entertaining.
But
she
never had sex with that man,
right?
But I think that the visor is brilliant, because for all the celebrities that are hounded and chased down and photographed, and then the pictures sold for hundreds of thousands of dollars, if they all had thought of that, gotten together and worn the visors, those pictures would be worthless.
You know the
visors.
You
can't sell them.
I saw the news.
Yeah.
But what I get amazed at also is there's a show called TMZ.
Yeah.
I don't understand that show. I mean, popular
show.
I know, but they'll take you like the Robin Hooks, right? They'll see you coming out of the airport. Robert, brought, you know, and try to get some information after you just had dinner with, Laurie.
Sure.
And you really have, no information, no nothing. And they were just asking you ridiculous questions to get a reaction out of you.
And it works for them. I mean, they sell that stuff.
And
they're owned by a lawyer, so he definitely knows how far he can go.
A lawyer. Yeah. Oh, boy.
And then they're about 10 kids here, and they all laugh at what's happening.
And
there's nothing
funny. That they were all the misfits in high school, and now they get to sit there, with their misshapen, hairy, snide little selves, and kind of poke fun at people that have accomplished things.
My kid's sister is a judge, and she tells me the best lawyer jokes, and she's heard them all. And I don't know if you ever heard this one, but to me, if you tell it to a lawyer, you're going to get a scowl, okay? What happens to a lawyer when he takes Viagra? The answer is he gets taller.
On that note, we're going to have to take a break. We have
no, you're right. It needs to be he.
Who do we have on the line, Paul? Susan? Susan Johnson? We have Susan Johnson on the line, and she will be on the air with us right after this break. You're listening to The View from Over Here on crntalk.com and heard digitally throughout the whole world. You can get our website at www.viewfromoverhere.com. Know the. And we'll be back in a few minutes. I love that horn. Anyway, take it away, Stan.
All right, we're back again. CRNTalk.com. Stan Weisleder here with Malcolm Berman, Robert Hooks, Laurie Marlowe, and our guest today, or one of our guests, Susan Johnson. And
hello.
She is a casting agent who has her own personal casting couch. Susan, are you on board?
I'm on board.
Can you tell us about the casting couch? I'm intrigued. Just
well,
kidding.
I donated it to the Coalition Against Domestic Violence, and it was pink, so we're good. We're now in the digital space, and there's no couch.
Oh, my God.
No more couch. Oh, come
no
on.
No more couch.
But actually, you could do some great things videoly. Videoly?
I think Susan, what do you cast, Susan?
It's Robert Hooks.
This is Robert Hooks. How are you, dear?
Hey, Robert Hooks. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm just fine. What are you casting these days? Is it television and film?
It's feature-length film. And right now I'm casting a $20 million Marvel comic, which is a feature-length film. And then the other thing I'm casting, believe it or not, is a radio show. It's not yours, and that's okay. They wanted, specific guests that normally don't go on radio shows, that have expertise in a certain area, and that was a fun gig.
I'm available. It's Malcolm.
You know what?
I'm available.
I will recommend you. You have a great voice.
Thank you.
No couch needed.
Visually or otherwise.
Did you just fall into this, or you've been? Did you groom yourself to cast?
Oh, that's actually a great question. I had no idea I was going to be a casting director. I left the East Coast in 2000 and drove across country as a SAG actress, not even knowing there was a strike, because that's how not political I am. I'm just like I'm going to L.A., I'm going to act. So I get there, and I couldn't work. So I contacted all my friends, and I said, uh-oh, what do I do? so one of them introduced me to a lovely lady, a casting director. We were both from the East Coast, and we had a lovely lunch, and those were the days of the pagers. So I said, look, I got a cell phone, I got a pager, I got a landline. You need me, call me. I don't care what time it is.
Wow.
Well, midnight that night, she called me. She brought me in. She put me on a Kid Rock music video.
Wow.
So not only did she put me in it, but she had me help wrangle the talent.
Right.
And then, she gave me a short that had a celebrity in it, and she said, go, you do it. Because I had helped her win an award for Nas's One Mic, which was a great music video. I would go out in the trenches. I would go find real people, for music videos and commercials, short films. And it was really lovely of her to just sort of, kind of push me out the door and go, here, go fly. And so I've been casting since 2000, and I judged the Daytime Emmys because of it, and I taught this really cool, actors camp for kids in the summer. It was voted top five. I don't think that had anything to do with me, but it's still kind of cool to say it. So it's been a fun ride that I had no idea I was going to be falling
into.
Well,
Susan, listen, I looked at your credits, and this is Stan. Your
hey,
credits
Stan.
Are very, very extensive. I was really impressed about your your credits, but would you care to maybe discuss with us, tell us any funny stories regarding some of your credits that you would think that
well,
we
I
may
mean,
enjoy listening to?
I'll give you the ones that are before the credits. I think the credits only start in 1990, as far as IMDb is concerned. I think that's when they started. But my dad and mom were divorced, and he used to take me to work with them, and he happened to be working in the business. So, I remember, one time I was, he put me on stage with a tambourine. He was booking a very known country artist at the time, with those outdoor festivals.
Right.
And, so he had to take me to work. So he said, here, go on stage with the tambourine. So, we get off stage and we walk away, and the lead singer, was kind of hitting on me. And I go, I'm not interested. He goes, why not? I go, I'm 11. He goes, I don't care. I went, Dad.
this sounds like the Deep South.
All I'm saying
South Brooklyn, maybe.
I've seen a lot,
Speaking
I've seen a lot.
Yeah. I have something over here about you being a judge in the Miss Universe.
That was really fun.
I can imagine. It would be fun for me, I know.
I think it would be more, listen, I'm heterosexual, I'm very gay friendly, but yes, if you are attracted sexually to you know, whatever sex, that's the contest to go watch, because they were all beautiful. They were all on their game, you know, their best foot forward. That was Miss Universe New York, again, the East Coast, West Coast thing. I'm coming back to my roots and getting back east as much as I can.
Are you a New Yorker or just back east?
Well, I say back east because I'm originally from Rhode Island, have worked in New York, but Rhode Islanders think they're New Yorkers. So
anyway, hold on, because we're running up to a break. You're listening to The View from Over Here, heard on CRN Digital Talk Radio and carried on the World Wide Web at crntalk.com. And stay tuned, and we'll be back in a few minutes with Susan Johnson. I think we should have George Gershwin on as a guest.
He would like that.
He's slightly indisposed.
Well, we can have our psychic see if she could, but she doesn't do that. Okay.
Can she raise the dead?
We'll talk about that.
Where's the hologram?
Are we on
reunion?
Or are we doing an Uncle Don?
No,
right
we're on.
We're on? Okay. This is Stan Weisleder at crntalk.com with Malcolm Berman, Robert Hooks, and Laurie Marlowe, and our guest right now, Susan Johnson. Susan, before we sign off with you, I have a question for you. The projects that you are working on now, is there anybody that you want to reach on our program out there to call you? Who are you looking for? Who do you want? What new talent are you in need of that you don't have in your Rolodex? And there's an old term.
Rolodex.
What is a Rolodex?
What is a Rolodex? Okay.
Yeah, what is a typewriter?
Oh, so great question. Thank you. It's actually very easy. It's free registration, and all they have to do is just go to SusanJohnstonCasting.com. There's a blue button on there that says register. Click it. Fill it in. I'll ask you some questions. I'll get all that data, and then I send everybody casting notices when I'm looking for stuff, and then they just email me back if they're right, and that's how we get the ball rolling.
Susan, how do you spell your last name?
J-O-H-N-S-T-O-N.
S-T-O-N, okay. Do they have to
be... You can do it, too.
Yeah. Do they have to be SAG?
No, they can be SAG, union, non-union, kids, adults, animals.
Animals.
I cast a three-legged
dog can do a great...
I have a three-legged cat that I call Tripod.
Our cat won't obey at all.
Hey, Susan, listen, when you're out there, and I want you to think of us, and when you want to come back, if you're looking for anybody, if you think we can provide that for you, just let us know. We get all kinds of comedians coming on, and if you ever need a comedian, we get the best ones coming on the show.
And I'm available for voiceovers.
Yeah, but you're not that funny, Malcolm.
He's not funny, but he has a great voice.
And I could read scripts.
Well, Susan, good luck with your company, and hopefully... the casting will grow and grow and grow.
Yeah, speaking about voice, Robert has a fantastic voice.
Wow.
But he's a trained actor. I think you're trained, aren't you?
So trained.
Laurie, have you trained him?
So very trained. Unlike our cat.
Robert has a lot of credits, very extensive credits, a long career.
Good luck, Susan.
Well, thank you. Exciting to talk to all of you. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Paul, do we need an F-bomb to wake you up?
No.
Okay, do we have our next guest ready to rock and roll?
Jennifer, okay. Are you aboard?
I am here.
Okay, let me say a little bit about Jennifer. This is Stan talking here. I want you to know you're on the show here. Malcolm Berman, he just uttered something. Robert Hooks, a very well-known actor, and his wife, Laurie Marlowe, are on with us. And Jennifer had a one-woman musical show on Broadway, an Emmy Award winner she is.
Bless you, Jennifer.
And the show is Screaming and Kicking, the musical. And it's about what it's like to be a Rockette, who Jennifer used to be, a Rockette.
Oh.
Okay, everybody knows about Rockettes. They adorned the stage at Radio City Music Hall for like many, many years. And to be a Rockette, I remember when I was a kid, although this precedes you, Jennifer, there were other Rockettes before you, but I remember the first time I was taken there, I was in awe.
Right.
How can all of these girls dance the way they did in unison. Anyway, Jennifer.
Jennifer, this is Malcolm Berman. Sorry, are you 5'9" and all legs?
I am now 5'6½" and mostly legs.
So did you shrink or what? Or did you sneak in and get in under the limit?
I got in under the limit. I really did. I was 5'7¾". Can you believe I shrunk? I can believe everyone else shrunk.
I've shrunk about an inch and a half.
Did you have a bone density test? Everybody was freaking out.
No, I have a bad back, and they took an X-ray of my spinal cord, and the guy said, "Okay, well, if each disc is narrowed by, you know, an eighth of an inch or less, collectively, you've lost an inch or two."
I'm just going to keep lying to myself. That works for me.
I just, you know, I went to my doctor and I said, "Oh my God, I need a bone density test," and she said, "No, it was 20 years ago. You're shrinking like every other human being on Earth." So yeah, I was a rockette at Radio City in the 90s. Oh my God! So there might be. I'm also a voiceover artist with a little bit of laryngitis, which is.
Now, what does voiceover artist actually do? I hear about it all the time.
Day of my life, and I'm on the radio. What?
Can you tell our listeners what a voiceover expert or specialist is?
Artist, I say, it's someone who makes a living with their voice. Doing clearly, I'm booked out today because listen to me, but doing radio and television ads and. Narrations. I'm in the middle of narrating an audiobook right now.
Did you take Susan Johnson's number?
Did I take her number?
Johnston.
Stalk her online. And I have a dog, but he's got four legs, so I don't know if she wants him in here.
So you do. What about animation?
Animation, yes. I did a little bit for SNL, and I just did something. Oh, geez. You know, I have a blog and a news and appearances thing, and I'm starting to write down everything because you work and then you get busy and you're like, woohoo, I'm working, and then you're not working, and then you really should be putting these things online. So when somebody asks you, what did you just do? You know what you did. But I remember when I get the paycheck.
Uh-huh.
You know what I did? And it is online. A Grand Theft Auto.
Ooh. Fine.
Huh.
So I was a snotty shopkeeper, and I got to yell a bunch of expletives and.
That's the game. That's a game, right?
It was so fun.
Now let's see if I get this right. They record a commercial or a film or whatever it is, and they use a real actor, and then you come in.
She's a real actor.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. They're filming an actor or actress.
Their face, you mean?
And then and then you come in and do the voice for that person. Is that what? What you're
doing? Have I done that? That's, you know what that is? That's dubbing. And, you know, I've actually...
Well, wait, what's the difference between dubbing and voiceover?
Well, it's just a part of voiceover. So, you know, like, if there's like this. I audition for this a lot. For a commercial, there's a very beautiful model. But she doesn't like this, and you can't understand her. Like, you can't understand a word she says. So what they do
is... I know people like that.
They put her pretty face up there, and you match what she's supposed to be saying with how her lips are moving.
That's dubbing.
That's dubbing. So, they do that in films when it's like a foreign film, and they want the person to speak English or Spanish or whatever it is. That's dubbing.
Well, they also do it in just regular films. I've dubbed... If you're shooting a scene outside and there are all kinds of noises and they can't use it in the actual film when they're cutting it together, they'll bring the actor in and he'll dub the dialogue particular scene, and then you don't, you know, then they cut it in. So dubbing takes a lot of faces.
Well, that in Les Miserables, the new movie, the thing that was marvelous about that is they did the actual singing on location when they were being shot. They didn't go to the studio.
Right.
Yes, I heard that.
That was a special kind of a project. But Susan, it's Susan, right?
Susan.
Who,
Susan.
Me?
Susan.
Jennifer.
Susan. Back to the
Jennifer.
Back to the Jennifer.
Susan. Jennifer.
Jennifer.
No, Jennifer.
Susan was the last. Whatever.
Jennifer. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm a little confused.
Yeah.
Went back to the dancing. Do you have to be a well trained dancer to be one of those ladies that kick in online? on the lines?
Yes, you do. And by the way, my show's Kicking and Screaming.
I love that title.
Right.
That's
a great
so
title.
Much.
Yeah,
my wife loves that title.
I love it for a book title. Now I want to see a book of the show.
I'm writing a book.
I'm so glad.
Here's the title, A Rocket Out of Line.
Very good.
Yes.
I love that.
It's also my blog, which is on my website, jennifergiles.com.
How many hours did you have to train to get to that precision?
Well, you know, the first time I performed as a Rocket, it was 13 weeks altogether with the performance and rehearsal. There's 3 weeks of rehearsal, and we had to learn 5 Rocket numbers, which is a lot of tapping and kicking. And then we had to learn, at that time, we also did the parts, like, you know, I was the only real Jew in the nativity scene. I was a rocket. And then
what a rocket.
But actually, you know, I played Mother Mary. I got a special role.
Well, Mary was Jewish, so it was perfect. It was typecasting.
Right, because I was the only real Jew.
Right.
And so finally they had a real authentic Jewish virgin.
But you were 11 years old at the time.
Yeah, you need to do a show.
After years of sixes. Anyway, so we had to learn. That was a lot. Like, tap was not my first language. I can say that now because I'm not working there anymore. But, boy, I didn't know what the bleep I was learning.
You almost said it.
Everything was so fast. But I learned it. And now when I look at, you know, DVDs of you know, the Thanksgiving Day parade and other things that I've taken off of VHS tapes, remember those? Talk about Rolodex, VHS tape.
Right.
I was actually pretty good, so yeah, that's why I got it. But it was very hard to learn all that in such a short amount of time, because I was, like I said, in the nativity. I was also in the Dickens scene. They used to have a Dickens scene with like, you know, Jacob Marley flying in,
right,
that kind of thing. And then a whole bunch of a lot of walk-on roles and things. You had to, a lot of quick changes, but it was the precision part you asked about. You know, how do we dance all together at the exact same time? That part was also very difficult for me.
Because, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
This is Stan here. What made you want to become a Rocket? What made you see that light?
I think it was just the hugeness of the thrill of the kick line, first of all, and that huge feeling you get sitting in Radio City. And when people are dancing together exactly at the same time, there's just something magical about it.
What about your new show? What about your new show, Kicking and Screaming? Have you done it before? Do you travel with it? Tell us about it.
I love how Stan said I was on Broadway, but I was actually off Broadway. But let's not correct that. I did it off Broadway, and then I did it at theaters around New York. You know, for money. In New York, you don't really make any money unless you get picked up by someone to go really pay you somewhere else.
Right.
It's for exposure and stuff. Unless you're a huge star on Broadway, which clearly I'm not.
I think you are.
In my own mind, I am. So I did it for a while. I mean, the last time I did it was 2 summers ago, and I decided I would like to do it again, but I want to do it again in New York. So I've entered myself into festivals, and I got into one. It just the timing wasn't good. But I'm still waiting on 2 other festivals, and there's one that is just divine. It's called All for One Theater Festival, and the people are real artists and so creative, and it's just a wonderful.
They're all one.
Group.
It's all one person shows.
Solo shows.
Do you ever get together with your fellow Rockettes, with ones you worked with, or the past?
Yeah, for like a Rocket reunion.
I've been approached about doing a. Because I'm so visible online that I've been approached, and I have a big mouth, I've been approached by producers, and the latest one was for a reality show. So I looked for the different colorful on the outside and on the inside. Rockettes to do it with me. But, things fall through the...
Well, I'm sorry I forgot her name, but I had interviewed a while ago Dick Van Patten's wife, who was...
Oh, you did?
Yeah. She lives locally in Los Angeles, and she was a former Rockette.
Right.
But probably before you, because I don't know how old she is, but I think she did it before the
90s. Yeah, I think she's a little older than me. Yeah.
Hey, Jennifer, question for you.
Hold the question, because we have a break.
30 seconds. Okay.
Hold the phone, Jennifer. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to The View from Over Here, heard on CRN, Digital Talk Radio, and carried on the World Wide Web at crntalk.com. And you can reach us at www.viewfromoverhere, not the. No the in it. And I was asked to explain it because it's View from Over Here, not The View from Over Here, because that's been taken.
Thank you.
And we'll be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Hey there.
Take over.
This is Stan Weisleder. We're back on CRNTalk.com on The View from Over Here. On the phone with us is Jennifer Giles.
But Stan, we only have like a few minutes.
Who's screaming and kicking. Okay, but wait, before we get back to Jennifer. And Jennifer, can I call you Jen?
What?
You may.
All right, listen, two quickie announcements. I got an email message. Sometime over the next couple of weeks, we will have as one of our guests, Theodore Bickel. Okay? That's number one. And the other announcement, we have a new advertiser coming on board. And I just want to give him a freebie plug now, and that is the Riviera Restaurant in Calabasas. Now, this guy doesn't even need the commercial. They have the best restaurant in Calabasas, bar none. Okay, it is an incredible place, but they will be a sponsor starting next week.
Fantastic.
Anyway, Jen or Jennifer, I have one question for you.
Or Jenny.
Jenny.
Oh, Jenny.
Come on, the lady's name is Jennifer.
Jennifer, okay. We reach a lot of people on our show. Is there any message that you would like to get across, any particular job that you would like? What do you want to say or advertise about yourself?
I am producing my first short film that I've written and I'm starring in called Mother of the Week, which...
Are you a mother?
I am a mother.
By the way, where are you located? Are you located West Coast, East Coast?
I'm on the East Coast. Okay. I'm just outside of New York City. And it's a short comedy, and I've just been inspired. We shoot May 31st, June 1st. So coming up in a couple of weeks for a couple weekends, it's an ultra low budget, but I have to say,
ultra low budget.
Ultra low budget. Yes, I'm prefacing it with that because
no one gets paid.
I want Billy Porter to be in my film, and I've written a part. We already cast the whole film, and then myself and the other writer, Fred Strappel, said, "Oh, and the director, Renny Sharp, we need a really fun other character in the office scene to play my best, office buddy." And Billy Porter is it. So I wrote this part that would be perfect for him. And anybody who knows Billy Porter, please call me with his direct line.
And where do they reach you? You have a website?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, jennifergiles.com.
How do you spell Giles?
J-I-L-E-S.
Okay. Now, we know
Jennifer,
that. We want our listeners to know.
And that's what I'm concentrating on right now is trying to get in touch with him and see if he can he would do this part. And if the short gets picked up as a series, it's his.
We'll send the word out.
Now, you said near New York. Where New York are you? Where near?
Because we're going to drop by, have coffee.
Where?
Westchester. What'd you say about a coffee?
Rochester.
No, I said, we want to know exactly where you are because we're coming by. We'll have coffee.
Oh, yes. Please do.
Anyway, Jennifer, thank you very much. We're reaching the end of the show. Thank you again. And when the movie comes out, let us know.
Oh, I certainly will. And check out my blog because you can see all about what's happening with the film. It's on my website.
Okay, we will. Thank you very
much. Take care, Jennifer.
And anyway,
thank you. Nice talking with you.
Bye-bye. That's it. You're listening to The View from Over Here, which can be heard on CRN Digital Talk Radio and carried on the World Wide Web at crntalk.com.
Did it again.
What do you do?
The View from Over Here is a co-production of Infinity X and TBG International. For further information, contact Malcolm Berman at 818-687-2784. That's 818-687-2784.